up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, filling in for Tony D. Here's Mike Gill.
Yes, indeed. We are rolling on a Thursday. Mike Gill, Ron Culver, in for Tony D. I hope he's enjoying his time off because he's missing out on great stuff, man. NBA free agency kicks off. We got details on that coming up in about 20 minutes. In about 6 minutes from now, we're going to go into the AFC South and talk a little bit about the quarterbacks that run that division. And we're going to dive back into this NBA teams discussing the reaction to the games and all that kind of stuff. And Mickey Callaway tried to get fired again last night. I got that. But first, Jeff Passan, ESPN, potential landing spots for Madison Bumgarner. You know, the trade deadline is less than a month away, and there's only one trade deadline this year. Like, you don't have to go into August and have that whole waiver deadline thing, and it's going to be very interesting. But because it's so interesting, there's not a whole heck of a lot of options out there, and Bumgarner is at the top of the list. So who's going to be involved, Jeff Passan?
Madison Bumgarner is clearly a proven pitcher in October. The Twins are going to be in it. The Milwaukee Brewers as well, I think, are a team that really could use a frontline starting pitcher. They've had some disappointments in their starters this year. Beyond that, though, you know, you hear the Yankees a lot. They're sort of on the periphery at this point. You also don't hear the St. Louis Cardinals. They're only 2.5 games back of the Chicago Cubs. They're in a division with the Brewers as well. And ultimately, those are playoff spots to be had in the National League.
So interestingly enough, Passan gives teams Minnesota, the Brewers, kind of tepid on the Yankees, and nothing with the Cards. That's interesting. Is it because Bumgarner doesn't have a lot of interest out there that only a couple of teams are in the mix here? Because I'm looking at these baseball standings and I'm thinking, heck, everybody's involved. The whole league is in. One of the problems with the trade deadline this year is going to be everybody thinks they're alive. The wild card from top to bottom in the NL is jam-packed. Every NL team should be keeping an eye on Madison Bumgarner. All right. Coming back with the AFC South, we've got to look at their quarterbacks. We'll rank them up for you. We are less than a month from training camp. Mike Gill, in for Tony D, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, filling in for Tony D, here's Mike Gill.
All right, Sweet Child of Mine, Guns N' Roses, this is epic right here. Made its debut on the Billboard Top 100 this week in 1988. Awesome stuff here. Now, the GNR turn is much like Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was on top of the world. Guns N' Roses was right there with him. Tyson kind of fell very deeply and has kind of picked himself back up. Guns N' Roses has fallen, and I don't know that they've gotten back up. They have not shown up for just concerts. They had the is the spaghetti incident done yet? Have they finished that one? Wasn't that their the album that everyone, what was the Chinese Democracy?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It was going to be the longest album in recorded history.
Yeah, well, I don't know that it ever made it. I don't know that it ever got released. But all I do know is that song was great, and they were great back in 1988. You know, in 1988, Ron Culver, the Houston Texans were not here. The Tennessee Titans played in Houston. So yep. You had no Houston, but you did have Houston. You had a different Houston. You didn't have a Tennessee. You didn't have a Jacksonville. This whole division didn't even exist. And the Colts, I think they had Jack Tredo. I mean, I think that was the quarterback in 1988. I'm just throwing a random
good pull.
I think so. I'm not 100% pull sure that he was the 88 quarterback, but he was in that era that Jack played, right? I mean, I'm assuming sometime in 88, because Peyton Manning wasn't there. Put it that way. He had yet to be an NFL quarterback. So this division here has always had its share of criticism, and it's starting to turn around, and it's all because of the position that we're talking about, the quarterbacks. And when I look at the quarterback, number one, I'm going to start with Deshaun Watson, because they won the division last year, and they finally feel like the Texans are always in play for winning the division. But unfortunately, and I like Bill O'Brien. I think he is a very polarizing guy. I don't know what he's how he's received in that Houston area down there, but I like Bill O'Brien. In fact, when the Eagles were looking to hire their coach in 2013, they hired Chip Kelly, and I was hoping that it was Bill O'Brien. O'Brien went to the Texans, and they've had a lot of success. The problem is they've never had a quarterback there. How he's won games with the quarterbacks he has is unbelievable. So I'm sure in Houston he's probably a pretty polarizing discussion. But Deshaun Watson,
he's definitely a polarizing discussion. Whether there's outright fandom towards him is there's mixed reviews.
Yeah, I would assume that's my, like, just by kind of keeping a pulse on what's happening down there from time to time, I would assume that he is kind of a polarizing guy in that he's the guy that can't, you're not going to win because he's the coach. They're like a 9-7 team all the time. But I look at it from the outside looking in and saying, they've never had a quarterback there. They finally get the quarterback in Watson. They win 11 games. They get to the playoffs. Now, they had no playoff success. But doesn't that come with time with the quarterback? Like, doesn't,
yeah.
Like, this is a big season for me, for Watson. The Watson-O'Brien duo, this is a big season now, right?
Definitely. Definitely.
26-9, though, Larry. 26 touchdowns, 9 picks. He had a great year last year.
I don't want to say it's like, you know, a put up or shut up type of deal this season. That if the Texans don't do well, then Bill O'Brien's out for a job. But, I mean, that rumor's been circulating for a while now.
It's been happening since Chip Kelly got fired. Like, yeah. Everyone's like, oh, well, Kelly's been fired. The only guy left is, like, O'Brien, and he's still there. And, you know, the Eagles have now since won a Super Bowl, moved on. Kelly's been someplace else, fired, hated at UCLA, apparently. And O'Brien's still there.
Yep. I mean, you know, he still keeps getting the benefit of the doubt, too. I don't know how many more seasons he'll
get. The benefit of the doubt from the fans or the organization?
From the organization.
Okay.
Yeah, the fans. Well, I think the fans are most tired of are the run of excuses, because everyone has it. It's you can play the hits of Bill O'Brien.
All right. Well, I got an excuse for him, and I'm halfway across the country from Houston, which is their quarterback situation has been awful, and it's finally pretty good now.
No, even during Deshaun Watson's rookie year. Everything was trending upwards. It's like, this is fantastic. And then, because I'll never forget it.
It was trending upwards. They won 11 games last year.
But I'm saying in 2017, when it looked like it was coming to fruition, it was the happiest and darkest day in Houston history, history. The day they were celebrating the Astros winning the World Series.
Oh, right.
I mean, literally, the Astros won it the night before. Houston is in euphoria. Cannot get any happier. I mean, you could feel it just walking around the city, how excited everyone was because the Astros won the World Series. But it was short-lived, because by the time mid-afternoon came around, that's when the story came out of Watson blowing out his knee.
Awful. But you know what? Coming off the ACL injury, he bounced back and had a great year.
Yeah, and you have DeAndre Hopkins, who is going to help any quarterback out. I think it benefits Deshaun Watson's game more that he has someone like that. So he's just going to shine.
Well, 26 touchdowns, 9 picks last year, coming off the ACL, 4,000 yards. I think he's going to have a huge year this year. He got Hopkins, Fuller, if he can stay healthy. So he's got some weapons down there. And obviously, he's a big key. They won 11 games, but I think you're right. This is a make-or-break type game. The second year after the ACL, he's got to take the big jump, and O'Brien's got to take the jump with him. And the Texans, you know, they've got some competition now. This division is really, really competitive all of a sudden. I mean, this used to be the 7-9 division, and now 11 games won it last year. Indianapolis finished second with 10. Andrew Luck, he's 30 years old now. I mean, he's hitting the prime of his career. Can he finally, you know, take them deep into the playoffs? And look, He got off to a really slow start last year, but then he just cranked it up, man. 39 touchdowns, 15 picks, 4,500 yards. Frank Reich, the coach, second year there. I love the possibilities for Luck this year. They got T.Y. Hilton, Funches. They brought him in. The tight end situation with Doyle, I like that. So I think Luck is a tremendous talent. And I love the Luck-Frank Reich combination there. I think that is a really great combination. That Luck, he was awesome in the second half of last year. He got off to a real slow start. I think Reich played him perfectly, kind of got him slow out of the gates. But then he took off the reins, and Luck just absolutely blew up. I think you could see a monster MVP-type season from Luck this year. They won 10 games last year. Then there's the other two. Tennessee, you know, Mariota, I don't know what to think. This guy was the second pick in the draft, and he was a great, great, great college quarterback. But he has not been a very good NFL quarterback. And now they brought in Tannehill. People forget that. They brought Ryan Tannehill in here, who was a first-round pick himself. I think Mariota is going to get pushed in training camp here. Because what has Tannehill done when he played with the Dolphins? When he was healthy, they won. He got them to the playoffs. When he played, they actually were a pretty good team. And Mariota's taking this team to the playoffs, but not because of him. He's taking them there because of the defense there, the running game there. Mariota's numbers have been awful. I mean, 11 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, just 2,500 yards. That's in 14 games. He threw for 2,500 yards in 14 games. So let's add two more games to the mix. He's not even going to throw for 3,000 yards in a league that's basically, it's like the SATs. You sign your name, you get you get 1,000 yards. So Mariota's passing has just not, he's not a big play passer. His completion percentage is high, but that's because everything is underneath. This is a huge, forget year for Mariota. This is a big training camp for Marcus Mariota. This is a huge training camp for him because he has legit competition. Ryan Tannehill could start on a lot of teams in this league, and I think he picked the right team because when he was a free agent, when the Dolphins let him go, when the Dolphins, not a free agent, when he got traded, but when there was talk about the Dolphins wanting to move on from him, you were looking around and you were thinking, where is he going to start in this league? Like, every place had a starting quarterback. So we had to find a team where the quarterback situation was a little shaky, and I think he found it. Tannehill, last year with 11 games, 2,000 yards, 17 touchdowns, 9 picks. He's very athletic. I think the Mariota-Ryan Tannehill camp battle is definitely worth everybody watching. Keep an eye on what happens down there. All right, Jacksonville is the other one. Now, Jacksonville has had quarterback issues galore. We could do a whole segment on this, and I'm sure you guys did when it happened. Nick Foles is there. Is he there to save the day and clean this thing up? This team was in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago. Last year, they were a laughing stock. They were back to the same old Jags. So what did they do? They went out and got the Super Bowl MVP of just 2 seasons ago. This guy could walk all water in Philadelphia. There are people that wanted Carson Wentz to be the guy traded to Jacksonville and keep Nick Foles. But I'm not so sure that Nick Foles can take Jacksonville from a 5-win team to a Super Bowl contender. They were a Super Bowl contender 2 years ago. But Nick Foles has got a very uphill battle offensively here. Don't love his weapons out there. The run game is always banged up with Fournette. Foles doesn't have the weapons, the creativity, and quite frankly, I think Foles is what he is. He is a very serviceable backup who can start, and when he starts for you, your season's not going to go down the toilet. But the numbers aren't great. 7 touchdowns, 4 picks. But what he was very, 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 very clutch. And because he was so clutch, he will be forever remembered in Philadelphia. He's even more popular than Carson Wentz. But being in Jacksonville and being in Philadelphia, they're two different stories. So in the South, I go Luck, Watson, Foles, and Tennessee, whoever starts there. This division should be very intriguing to watch with the insertion of the former Super Bowl MVP. Mike Gill in for Tony D, SB Nation AM. And when we come back, the Clippers, their name pops up everywhere, but they're popping up with a name that is very familiar. I'll have the details coming up next.
Color, 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 color.
listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, filling in for Tony D, here's Mike Gill.
I'm going to go cool mode D here, but I don't know that I'm right.
You're not right.
Damn.
Yep. Iced tea.
Iced tea? I got to get that. I got to get that. I got to be better than that.
With the song Colors.
Yeah. Why did I say cool mode D?
I don't know.
You remember Cool Moe D?
Yeah, I think what your issue was, you're sitting there, it's like, all right, rap artist late 80s. Rap artist late 80s.
Yeah, of course, 88. I mean, Cool Moe D was...
This is going to be on during Beats Shazam.
Yeah, right.
That's the actual category is going to be rap artist late 80s.
The category is 88 rap artist. Well, you know, Ice-T has got to be at the top of the list when I'm going...
Exactly. That's it, them and Run DMC.
If Eitan Shander from the second level was listening, I'm sure he's sleeping right now, but he would be thoroughly disappointed in me.
I honestly think he woke up just now.
You think? That was so bad?
Because he heard that. He's listening to the show, even though he's, you know, trying to catch a few winks. He heard that, just shot up right out of bed, and went, what?
And I wouldn't be surprised.
And now he's going back to sleep.
I would not be surprised if that was the case, honestly. All right, this Clippers news is kind of interesting. I don't know if people out there know Sham Sharina from The Athletic reporting this. The Clippers are expected to have interest in signing Tobias Harris, according to Shams. Now, I think that is it's pretty unbelievable when you think about it, right? You know, they made that trade. It's almost like they made one of those trades that was like, hey, we'll trade you to get better and then get you back. You know, you always hear about that. Like, a lot of times in sports, it's like they trade a guy away, he's like a rental, and then he's a free agent so that he can go right back to the place. Very rarely do you actually see it happen, though, where the guy leaves, the other team gets a haul, and then the player goes back. But if Tobias Harris went back to the Clippers, and they got Landry Shamet, who turned into a really nice player, can shoot the ball, he started for them on a playoff team. Shamet's a really nice player. But if they end up getting Shamet plus the three first-round picks that the Sixers gave the Clippers, and then Harris went back there, wow, that would not look good for the 76ers. You know, the Sixers have enough pressure on them right now that they got to go with this Jimmy Butler story. They got to figure out what to do there. You got Harris, who's traveling from coast to coast to go meet with teams all over the place. If they lose Harris after the trade they made to go get him, that's not going to look good. But it's going to look even worse if he goes back to the Clippers. And let's say the Clippers go out and get a guy like, I don't know, Kawhi Leonard. And then the Clippers end up getting Tobias Harris, Kawhi Leonard with the group they already have. Wow. That news, I thought, was very, very telling. Now, other teams he mentions in The Athletic, he mentioned the Nets, the Mavs, the Nuggets, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, the Wolves, and the Kings. So I feel a little bit better that there's a laundry list of teams that can't get out of their own way. But if I'm Tobias Harris, why am I considering these laundry list of teams that have so many problems all the time? The Grizzlies, am I really saying, you know what, let's go to Memphis and hang out and play there? Could be the worst team in the league. Memphis is trying to get rid of players. And Tobias Harris might think about going to Memphis, so I'm crossing them off. The Pelicans are kind of interesting. You got Zion, you got Drew Holiday, you got Ingram and Ball. So the Pelicans are kind of intriguing. The Wolves, they can't get out of their own way, it seems like, too. Butler got out of there. I can imagine Tobias and Butler having a conversation, and Butler telling Harris all the stories of what went wrong in Minnesota. And then Harris ends up going there. Would that be a clear indication that Harris and Butler maybe didn't get along? Like, Butler's like, dude, these two guys, they were terrible to play with. They made all this money, and I played harder than them all the time, and yada, yada, yada. And Harris is like, you know what? I think I want to go play there. So I think Minnesota's kind of a long shot. And then the Kings. I mean, seriously, does anybody say, yeah, sign me up for the Cal Palace? Send me to Arco? I don't think that's ever happened. Has anybody ever signed with the Kings willingly? Like, yes, I want to live in Sacramento for the next X amount of years. Let me sign my name on the dotted line. That doesn't sound very appealing right now when you have a lot of options out there. Brooklyn's interesting. He's from Long Island. They're trying to do something out there, but I don't know if Harris fits the level of player that they're trying to get. I think they're going to the next level of player. And then we've been talking about the Mavericks all week on the show about how intriguing they are in free agency. Harris to the Mavs would be kind of cool. You know, Porzingis and Harris and Luka, although Porzingis and Harris are kind of similar type of positions. They're kind of stretch fours that hang around the three-point line a little bit, so I don't know how those two would coexist. But the Clippers involved in this is kind of interesting. Don't you think, like, man, Tobias Harris gets traded to Philly, works there for a couple of months, and then goes right back out to L.A. They get the big haul. That would look really bad.
Yeah, I'm trying to I mean, we have heard of these things, this happening before. I just can't think of the last time it did.
You know, I think as fans, we always, like, have the conspiracy theory in us that it's going to happen. Like, you're going to trade this guy who didn't really want to leave that spot. He goes to a place, they get a lot of players, and they're going to sign him right back. But it doesn't happen too often. In this case, though, Tobias Harris and the Sixers, their biggest thing is the five-year, you know, contract. But I don't know that the Sixers want to pay him the max money. I mean, I don't know if Tobias is on the same level as he. I like Tobias, and he's a nice player. I don't know if he's the max money guy, though. So that's why I think it's a little bit more fearful for the Sixers to lose Tobias Harris. But I want to go back to this Butler thing and get your opinion on this, Ron, because if the Rockets are willing to trade all these guys ahead of time, does that set off some red lights to you that, hey, why are they trading these guys before they know if Jimmy Butler even wants to play here? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, unless they have insider information or they've spoken
exactly.
to them, unless there's tampering.
Exactly. Like, hey, Jimmy, do you think that you would tell the Sixers that you want to come play here? Because all the reports are like, they need to convince Jimmy Butler to come play here and then tell the Sixers that he wants to be traded. They would have to know that ahead of time to trade Capella, Gordon, or Tucker. Because if they don't know that Butler wants to go there, why would they trade any of them? They have the best team maybe in the West right now, don't you think? Like, the way the Warriors are set up, don't the Rockets have one of the best teams already? Like, I get it, they want to make it better. But at the expense of possibly trading away one of those guys to get a guy that you don't even know wants to play for you, it almost screams to me that they know something that maybe we don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, they literally were, 2 years ago, we're 2 years removed now from them being 60 seconds away from the final.
Yes, well, you know what?
I mean, that would change the fortune for everything. Now, this past year, yeah, you know, they hit some bumps along the road. Nobody expected the Nuggets to be as good as they were. And so, you know, you have a Rockets team that faced a Warriors team that didn't have a chance to get kind of a little more banged up.
Yeah, well, you know what? The window is closing. The Harden-Paul thing is closing.
Well, I mean, that seems like almost as if it's, you know, locked in a vault by this point.
Right. Well, if they get Jimmy Butler out there, depends on what happens with the Lakers and what ends up going on out there and with the L.A. Clippers. But on this date right now, I mean, with Harden and Paul, Capella and Gordon, you might say today, right now, that the Rockets are the best team in the entire NBA. I mean, yes, I get it, what's going on in the Toronto, but we don't know that Kawhi Leonard's going back there yet. So as of right now, he's not on the Raptors. Those guys are there. Those guys aren't free agents. They're all coming back. So as constructed, as we speak, at 35 after the hour on a Thursday, yes, they're the best team in the league, you would think. I mean, they got all their pieces coming back. So to me, it sends up some red flags here that the Rockets would be willing to trade those pieces without prior knowledge that something's coming back to them. Because why am I going to break up what I have right now? I get it. I want to add to it. I need to add to it. I got to get better. Although, do I, though? Because the Warriors aren't the same. So can I beat this edition of the Warriors with what I have now? Can I beat the Nuggets with what I have now? Can I beat the Portland Trailblazers with what I have now? The answer is yes, you can. So why would you get rid of one of those guys if you don't know ahead of time that you're going to get Jimmy Butler? Something smells here, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it. Something smells. I don't like it. NBA teams, the league, reducing games, midseason tournaments. It's chaos. It's anarchy. We've got that coming up next. Mike Gill in for Tony D. This is SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Filling in for Tony D, here's Mike Gill.
Man, I feel like I know this one. Is it New Order? How does it feel? Blue Monday. Yeah. Blue Monday is the name of the song. Right? Yes. Am I right? 1988. Blue Monday. New Order.
Now, see,
this is a remake.
The song was originally released in 83, and then they re-released it. They tweaked it a little bit for 1988.
So I got it right?
Yeah, but it was in the top 100 of the Billboard, so...
This song has been remade a few times. I think Orgy did it. That was the name of the band, by the way.
I know. I'm
sorry.
Not judging your lifestyle, Mike. It's all right.
We do it a little differently on the East Coast here, Ron.
That's right. I know. Everything was 5 minutes away from me. I figured that was, too.
I bet you I could find one of those in Atlantic City.
Within five minutes.
Yes, 5 minutes down the road. That is happening somewhere as we speak right now. No, it's a very family-friendly town. Who am I kidding? So I want to get back into this idea of the NBA changing the league and all the different things. I thought more about this now. So there's a report that the 2021-22 season that they are thinking about changing the way the league is kind of set up. The biggest challenge is reducing the number of games because of financial loss. But here's a thought about this, okay? The NBA is kind of looking at it, I think, that a guy like Kawhi Leonard played 60 games this year. If they only play 60 games, does he play all the games or does he only play 40 of those 60? You know what I mean? Is that like... Are they kind of trying to change the seasons so that their stars actually play all the games? Because if you're only playing like 60 games, you're really spreading these games out. Because I would assume you're going to do it over the same amount of time, right? I mean, you would probably want to still encapsulate the calendar for as long as you can. So,
I don't know. I mean, all right, just take for the NBA, for example. I mean, yeah, they probably would want to take advantage of the calendar. But there's a reason why I always say the NBA season starts Christmas Day. And it's just because, I'm not ready to jump into the NBA until that moment happens. And it has nothing to do with NBA. It has everything to do with college football and NFL going on. That there's enough going on there True. That satisfies my sports fix.
So, like, if the NBA wasn't even around in October, November, and most of December.
Notice.
Yeah, you're probably... Well,
I don't notice college basketball being on, and it certainly is.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I guess it's the market that you're in. I mean, if you're in Salt Lake City, Utah, you're probably jonesing for a Jazz game. If you're in Portland, Oregon, you're probably jazzing for a Blazers game. If you're in Sacramento, that's all you got out there.
Yeah, but you do have, all of them do have professional teams to look at as well. I mean, college teams to look at. Sacramento, not so much, but Utah, I mean, they got the Utes who are been very competitive in Pac-12 play. Portland is always, they got University of Oregon, Oregon State, the mm-hmm. Civil War rivalry going on. So there's enough there to keep their attention. I almost say, for the NBA, if they're going to do something radical and something different, That Christmas break that we all get or, that we wish we had like our kids do, that would be a perfect time to do maybe preseason tournament or midseason or start of the season tournament.
Well, this is what's been thrown out there. There's a midseason tournament idea where teams would play for a second separate title and you're a soccer guy, like they do in European soccer. So the idea is that the revenue raised for that tournament, the broadcast rights, would offset the gate revenue lost from games. There's also an idea of a, quote, play-in tournament for the playoffs. The idea would be that the top six seeds in the conferences are set, but the 7 through 10 seeds are put into a tournament of some kind with the winners advancing to the playoffs to face the top seeds. So that would be kind of intriguing that the six seeds, you get this like bye, and then the 7, 8, 9, and 10s, they all play. So I guess 7 would play 10 and 8 would play 9, and the two winners would move into the 7 and 8 spots into the actual playoff field. Do you like that idea?
I love that idea. I think that would be a lot of fun, a great way to start the NBA season. And you mostly would, there's a good chance you'd guarantee a lot of your stars playing. Now, once the regular season begins, you know, how often, like you mentioned, Kawhi Leonard only played 60 games this year. Maybe he plays the tournament and say that tournament runs, you know, I'm just going to ballpark and say 10 games for him. Once the
Well, they might not be in that tournament. Well, if they're like a top six seed, they're not in that thing.
That's true. I mean, right now, I guess they would be number one, perhaps.
Oh, you're saying to do it at the start of the year, like kick the season off with this?
Yes.
Wow. So I don't know. You can't do that.
You can't? You sure?
No, because, I mean, if Kawhi leaves the Raptors, they can't be the number one seed. You know what I'm saying? Like,
then I guess we're getting into issues, because then we're going to have people who are predicting the seeding.
Well, it would almost be like the college football AP poll comes out, and that's how they decide who's going to be in the college football playoff. That would be a disaster, because those pollsters get it wrong all the time.
How great would it be? It'd be something for us to, you know, yell at.
You're
for
right
you
about
and I
that.
To sit there and just kind of judge them. It's like, how the heck are they keeping the Raptors number one just because they won a championship? They don't have anybody.
Okay, so I would be more on board if they did a preseason power ranking and maybe went off of that, as opposed to, hey, you won the championship last year, so you're automatically the number one seed. But the problem is,
I say you do it as they finish.
That's intriguing. No, because you would have the Raptors playing the Warriors. They would be the number one seeds, and the Warriors are all hurt.
That's true. You know, hey, it happens.
Just to be clear, though, I think they're talking about doing this in the mid-season, somewhere around the All-Star break. So maybe instead of, like, the dunk contest and the celebrity game and the rookie game, you would be getting these games.
And so would they do it during the All-Star break?
Maybe. I'm just throwing that out there. Okay. Like, instead of, like, getting the dunk contest and the three-point contest and the skills competition and all that Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, maybe Friday night kicks off, like, the play-in tournaments where the 7 seed plays the 10 on Friday, then on Saturday the 8 plays the 9. You know, you do something like that, and then on Sunday is the All-Star game. I mean... It would definitely, like, what do they do in European soccer? What's that European soccer idea that they throw out there?
Well, there's a couple of them.
This is a mid-season tournament idea where teams would play for a second separate title as seen in European soccer. What are they talking about?
What European soccer, what they do is, say, you'll take the Premier League, for example, because, you know, what's run in England, is that they have their season. They have a season-long tournament. So basically, a tournament within the season. So you know they'll play their regular games on the weekends, but every once in a while they'll have a midweek game, and you know, and that's also what the European tournament is, the Champions League or the UEFA Cup is a season long tournament that starts about I think a month after all the European soccer clubs' regular season starts. The Champions League tournament starts a month after and finishes about a month after the regular season ends.
Yeah, that's confusing. That's one of the reasons I just can't follow the soccer. I don't know where it's going.
So what that would be
time.
Was you know, basketball usually plays what they usually play on Tuesdays and Fridays, right? Or Wednesdays and Fridays?
Well, I mean, the NBA you're talking about?
I mean,
there's
the NBA,
no, like, yeah, there's no set days, but like Thursday night's a big NBA night because of TNT. Monday, yep. I think, has ESPN, and is it Monday and Wednesday? So, I mean, there's games every night of the week, but some are heavier than others.
Right. So then you would just designate, say, Wednesdays. Every Wednesday you just choose a week out of the month or 2 weeks out of the month where it's back-to-back. They play a basketball game, and it's a season-long tournament.
Well,
that gets rid of that could shorten the season to 60 games for the NBA, but then you're adding these games. So it almost, for some teams, it almost is a wash that they'd still be playing 82 games.
Well, that whole thing, they got to perfect the whole playoff thing. I don't mind the 7 and the 10 playing and the 8 and the 9 to get into the playoffs. I kind of think that's an interesting dynamic there. Also, how about playing for picks? I mean, instead of the lottery and these ping pong balls, having the teams that don't make the playoffs to make up games, let them play against each other and see who really, you know, was tanking games all season long.
So do you reward the winner or the loser? Well, if you're,
if you win that tournament,
say you take the bottom four teams, and they're all playing for the number one seed. Are you rewarding the winner of these games or the loser
sure.
of the games? So the winner of the game proves that they don't really need the number one seed, but the losers do.
Yeah, well, it also proves who was actually tanking, who was actually trying to lose on purpose.
That
you're now
could be
exposed.
Some ugly basketball. Are you kidding
man.
Me?
You would have who like... this year? The Knicks would be playing against the Bulls and the Suns and Memphis or something like those.
Wow,
that would be
but
the
it's
equivalent.
Like that. But then you have teams. You're showcasing teams that are like, okay, we can't show that we were tanking. So we got to play like we were tanking?
Yeah, well, you're trying to win now. Now you're trying. This is the equivalent of the worst idea in sports, which is the play-in games on Tuesday and Wednesday night of the NCAA tournament in Dayton.
Very true.
Like, does anybody watch those games at all? I mean, those games are the epitome of, please get me. That's like when the regular season starts and you're like, just get me to the playoffs. When you're watching those on Tuesday and Wednesday, you're like, just get me to Thursday, please.
But there's only two people who watch those games. That's students and alumni of those universities.
Yeah, and the whole concept of some of them being the 8-9 seeds, I think, is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, it's always bizarre, isn't it?
Okay, if you want to make that and make them the 16s, fine. But don't make two teams that are like real, you know, 8-9 seeds. You know who... The 10, 11, and 12, they would love to have been an 8 or 9 seed, and now you're playing them on Tuesday night in Dayton? No, I'm out on that. No way. That needs to be fixed, too, but I digress. All right, I want to get into this real fast, too. Golden State, Kevin Durant, he declined $31 million. What kind of society do we live in where a man can say, I don't want $31 million, I'm gonna opt out of a $31 million? Can you imagine, Ron?
Not only that, but he's pretty much saying, you guys know I'm not playing next year.
Right. The audacity to say, I don't want your $31 million and I'm not going to play. Boom. Drop the mic right there. That is the ultimate hold my beer mic drop. I am making $31 million guaranteed, and I'm going to tell you I don't want your money, and I'm going to tell you I ain't playing. And guess what? I want more. That's the world we live in today. Now, I don't know where you fall on this, the fact that he sold his home in California, apparently, and he's reportedly rumored to have bought one in New York. Again, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. I'm done on the real estate transactions here. I can't keep up with all these things. Durant sells his home in California. He buys one in New York. That must be where he's going. He's not playing next year, and he just turned down $31 million. That's the story. Not that he bought a new home. The story is, in the world that we live in today, that this guy can turn down $31 million and still expect to get more money, even when he doesn't have to work. It's unbelievable. A 5-year, $21 million deal is what he's eligible to get from the Warriors. And he's probably going to turn that down, too. So this guy, in 1 week, might turn down $31 million of guaranteed money and then followed up with $221 million that he turns down. Only in America can you turn down $31 million and say, I can get more, and turn down $221 million and say, I can probably do better. All right. Jeez, that's unbelievable. So last night, it was nuts. Mickey Callaway went and tried to get himself fired again, and I watched it live. It was crazy. I'm actually going to the Phillies game in a couple of hours here. I hope he tops it so I have something more to talk about on tomorrow's show. I'll have the details. Mike Gill in for Tony D. It's SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Filling in for Tony D, here's Mike Gill.
All right, closing things out. 1988, what a great year. You picked the 88 music over the 03 music. It's a good job by you, Ron Culver. Mike Gillen for Tony D, SB Nation AM. So, real quick, last night, I'm watching the game, and Vargas, who wanted to beat up the beat writer the other day, is pitching a gem. 6 innings, 3 hits. He's got 10 strikeouts. He's cruising right along. I'm saying, this guy's shutting us down. He's cruising right along. And what happens? Mickey Callaway trying to get himself fired emerges from the dugout. Now, Vargas, Jason Vargas is pitching a gem, 10 strikeouts. He only threw 77 pitches. But then the laptop kicked in. The laptop sent out an alert to Callaway's phone, and Callaway got the message, and he emerges from the dugout. And what happened? They bring in Seth Lugo with the Mets with the lead, and Seth Lugo comes in and gives up a bomb to Segura and proceeds to have the game tied. And when I woke up this morning and I emerged, I saw that the Phillies beat the Mets 5-4 in extra innings. But I watched Callaway, literally, I said, dude, what is this guy doing? I mean, Vargas is shutting the Phillies down. And then Lugo comes in 2/3 of an inning. He gets up 2 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned, 2 walk. And here's the thing. You're the Mets. Don't you know by now that whatever the computer's telling you ain't working, they have an 8.10 ERA and 19 blown saves. If you have a guy cruising like Vargas, Callaway, stick with him, unless you want to get fired. I think it's the latter, right? I'm Mike Gill, in for Tony D. Ron Culver, SB Nation AM. We're back tomorrow morning for one more voyage. Have a great rest of your day.